Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, the network for social justice. Today, we'll take you to The Wall That Heals, a replica of the Vietnam Memorial that came to El Cajon last weekend. Here are interviews with veterans and others who came to pay tribute to those who lost their lives in the Vietnam War and why the wall is important to these visitors. On sports, we'll tell you about the thrill of victory for the Padres in their home opener and the agony of defeat for the Aztecs basketball team in the Sweet 16 Championship Finals. Grossmont Union High School District's trustees have voted to terminate 91 full-time staff positions. We'll tell you why and what some members of the public had to say about that decision on our show today. California Attorney General Rob Bonta has issued an alert for taxpayers with tax filing tips on how to avoid scammers. Now here's the buzz. Bees are active and on the move as the weather warms up, and the county has some safety tips to share with you. More wet and wild weather is moving into our region with an atmospheric river, and we'll have details. From California News Service, learn about efforts to protect giant sequoia redwood trees from future wildfires. It's spring break time for lots of college students, and the U.S. State Department has issued a spring break travel advisory for college students considering traveling to Mexico. Find out which areas the State Department considers too dangerous to visit, and some tips to stay safe if you do travel south of the border. On Destination East County, we'll tell you about some awesome April events coming up, including Mission Trails Regional Parks Community Night, Daffodil Days in Julian, a stargazing party at Mission Trails, a solar eclipse party in Julian, the opening of Cajon Classic Cruises, Ramona's Open Studios Art Tour, Latino musical headliners at Viejas Concerts in the Park, Heritage of the Americas Museum's Spring Art Show, stand-up comedian Kevin Hart at the Magnolia, Lakeside's Rodeo and Western Days Parade, a Neil Young concert at San Diego State, and a sweet pea maze at Summers Past Farms in Flin Springs. From California News Service, hear about efforts to address a teacher shortage. And then on 2024 Talks, we'll have some national news stories, including conspiracy theories about the Baltimore Bridge collapse, Republican efforts to impeach Homeland Security Mayorkas, Ukraine funding stalled in Congress, and two former presidents stepping up to help the Biden campaign. Then, we'll have details about a lost hiker found thanks to an all-night search by volunteers, a settlement in a landmark immigration lawsuit against the federal government, and the Campaign for College Opportunities efforts to make higher education more affordable. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
This is Zaravon Ali.
And this is Danita Ramirez.
With East County Magazine on KNSJ.
The Network for Social Justice.
The Wall That Heals, a three-quarter-sized replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., came to El Cajon on March 21st through the 24th. The wall contains the names of more than 58,000 Americans who died in the war that spanned 15 years, as well as the names of the U.S. service members missing in action.
The goal of The Wall That Heals is to educate future generations about the Vietnam War in hopes that they will respect returning warriors. Like the memorial in Washington, D.C., this wall has had a powerful impact on visitors. On opening day of the exhibit in El Cajon, we visited Wells Park to speak with veterans and others who came to see The Wall That Heals. I'm Danita with East County Magazine, and we're here at the Veterans Wall That Heals Memorial. So, how do you feel about the wall being in El Cajon?
I am actually completely honored because I was born and raised here in El Cajon, and I am a Navy veteran from the Desert Storm era, and being able to be here with my fellow brothers and sisters, it's a complete honor for me to help them out as much as I can.
What brings you here today?
Today, since it was the grand opening, I wanted to make sure I was here to see everything, meet the mayor, talk to a lot of people and see their reaction to this. And the smiles on their faces is just something that you can't ever forget. It's humbling.
What does the wall being here in El Cajon bring to this community?
I think it's going to bring a sense of gratitude. People will actually be able to see and understand what these service members did for this country.
And do you have any like personal stories that you want to share?
I did communications in the military, in the Navy. And I was the one who actually deciphered the message for the Missouri and Wisconsin to open fire on the start of Desert Storm. That was a very humbling experience. And I'm grateful for what I did for this country, and it doesn't put me in the same category as these people that were in the Vietnam War, but I'm honored to be able to call them my brothers and sisters.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Zeravon with East County Magazine, here with
Carlos Gomez Perez.
All right, and how do you feel about the wall that heals being in El Cajon?
I'm actually very grateful that they brought the wall back, because not a lot of people are able to travel all the way to Washington, D.C. to be able to experience the wall in person. So this will help out a lot to veterans that served during Vietnam, haven't had a time to closure because they haven't been able to get the mental help they need, because it's actually very tough and hard to try and face yourself, especially after having experienced everything that you experienced while we were in combat.
And what brings you here today? Are you here to volunteer? Are you here to meet new people? Are you here to experience, like, make new friendships or revisit what has already happened?
I'm here. I was trying to network, honestly. That's what I was trying to do. Wanted to see the wall once again. I see a bunch of older generations. I don't see anyone here from my generation of combat. I was actually in Fallujah back in 2004. So 20 years ago, I was literally in the middle of combat. April 26 would actually be the year that I got injured twice, and I was out of service by 2006. So I hold a Silver Star, which is the third highest medal of valor anyone in the service can receive, Purple Heart, and combat promotion to corporal. So I was kind of looking for other El Cajon veterans that were in Fallujah with me. So that's why I'm here.
And do you think that other people, like, who are currently in the Army or were more recently, should be here? Do you think that they should care more about their past? Or do you think that, like, as more generations join the Army and stuff, they kind of forget what has happened?
Unfortunately, we live in a very forgetful nation, meaning everybody knows what happened September 11th. Everybody becomes patriotic September 11th, a week after. After that, they forget. They completely forgot about everything that's happened, and they don't care. At the end of the day, they don't care. To answer your question, yes, I do believe some active duty personnel should be here, because especially if they join a grunt unit or a line unit, whether it be Marines, Navy, Army, whatever branch you joined, not to be a little grim about it. Your name might be on the wall one day. You got to become a part of just another name on a wall.
And what do you think the wall being here brings to this community?
Hopefully it brings some kind of unity. I know it would help me if we had something similar for Iraq, which I know they're building one now in Washington, D.C., but they don't have one yet that travels. I think it would help them to not feel invisible. What happens after you get out of service, for the most part, most of us isolate. Most of us isolate. We don't deal with mental health, so we become invisible. We become ghosts, you know, and we're too scared to reach out to our own guys and like, hey, man, I'm not having a good day, because we have that type of mindset that's alpha mentality, which can be helped you out immensely while you were in the service. But once you get out, you need to realize that as much as you need a fire team when you were in the service, you need even a stronger fire team once you get out of the service, because you can't win a battle alone.
Today, we are here with
Suzanne Haro.
How do you feel about them bringing the wall to El Cajon?
I think it's wonderful, because so many people from this area would probably never be able to get to Washington, D.C. to see the actual wall. And this is an exact replica.
And what brings you here to volunteer?
Because my husband served in the Navy during the Vietnam War, and he's a Vietnam veteran. So that's why we're here.
And what do you think the wall coming to this community, what could it bring?
Well, it can bring a lot of information, especially to young people who weren't born when the Vietnam Wall was going on, and hopefully just a little respect for the Vietnam veterans who didn't get a lot of respect when they came home.
And do you have any personal stories of you or your husband that you'd like to share with us?
When I was in high school, we all wore POW bracelets. That was a very popular thing. And my husband, thank God, never served in Vietnam, but he served in the Navy during the Vietnam War, fueling ships. And so that's the experience we had.
I'm Zervon on East County Magazine, and I'm here with
Michael Andrews.
How do you feel about the wall that heals being in El Cajon?
I think it's great. So people remember the war. You know, there's only a few of us left. You know, mm-hmm. I just turned 76, so I was there in 69, long time.
And what does the wall being here bring to this community?
Togetherness for all the veterans. And something that they need, you know, because a lot of us don't talk about it. We left it where it was at.
Alf, do you mind telling us a short story about it, that, like, experience?
I was wounded New Year's Eve, 6 o'clock, January 31st, 1969. So that's how I ended my 6 months. I only was there 6 months. And then I spent 4 months in hospital, and I'm lucky I ain't on the wall. That's about it.
Very lucky. All right. Thank you so much for your service.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Miriam Raftery with a sports report. San Diego sports fans experienced the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat all on Thursday, March 28th. The thrill came when the Padres won their home opener over the Giants. The agony of defeat occurred when San Diego State's basketball team got trounced in the NCAA Sweet 16 tournament. In the Sweet 16, the University of Connecticut's Huskies beat the Aztecs by 30 points. The final score was 82-52, the worst defeat in the tournament since 1937. The Aztecs did finish fifth in the Mountain West before the loss to the Huskies ended their championship dreams. This was the second consecutive year in which the Aztecs made the finals, only to be thwarted in the end. Meanwhile, the Padres won their home opener 6-4, thanks to a four-run rally in the seventh inning. San Diego's baseball team earlier split the first two games of the season, which were away games with the Dodgers. At their home opener, the team also honored their late owner, Pete Seidler, who died in November. The team had a large heart and his initials carved into the grass on center field, and the Padres players wore patches with the same symbol.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Donata Ramirez with an education report. The Grossmont Union High School District Board of Trustees has voted by a 3-2 margin to reduce its workforce by 91 full-time staff positions. The action comes after 81 employees received letter warning of pink slips for the next school year. The other 10 positions to be cut are vacancies that will not be filled. Board leaders blamed the state of California for mandating notice of cuts by a March 15th deadline, as leaders in Sacramento brace for a looming budget deficit of over $31 billion for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. Of the jobs slated for layoffs, 53 are certificated, including teachers, vice principals, and curriculum specialists. The other 38 are classified positions, including administrative assistants, office staff, interpreters, technicians, and more. The agenda item drew strong opposition from parents and educators at the school board's meeting. El Cajon Valley High School teacher and librarian Tanya Jackson implored the board, "Don't do this. Use your powers for good." The votes against the cuts were made by trustees Elva Salinas and Chris Fite Salinas, said pink slips threaten stability of the workforce, and suggested that the board take the next year to review efficiency and redundancies. She said the rush to terminate jobs was not well thought out. Her motion to not make the cuts was seconded by Fite. Both agreed that the district's financial reserves could be tapped to cover next year's staff salaries. Fite said that reserves are in place precisely to protect the integrity of the workforce, adding, "This is our rainy day," said Fite. The votes in favor of issuing pink slips came from the three conservative members of the board: Board President Robert Shield, Vice President Gary Woods, and Clerk Jim Kelly. Shield said the reserve fund has fallen from a one-time high of $19 million $1 million to around $8.4 million today. He added that teachers recently received an 8% pay increase. Shields said that the 3 years of extra federal funds schools received in the wake of the pandemic was coming to an end, right as Sacramento bears down on local school boards to issue pink slips in anticipation of the state's looming budget deficit. He said, "We have to come up with a budget before we know how much the state is giving us," noting that the state budget won't be available until summer, but that districts face a March 15 deadline to issue pink slips now. Trustee Kelly said, "Sacramento set this situation up, but they let the public attack the board." Governor Gavin Newsom has boasted in May of 2022 that California's surplus of $97.5 billion would ensure that educational spending was prioritized. But by early this year, Sacramento began predicting a deficit of over $31 billion for the coming fiscal year. Shield told a rowdy crowd in the Grossmont High School Theater that the deep cuts are a compromise, as supporters of the staff members slated for the chopping block took turns pleading with the board to vote against cuts. But Shield insisted, "It is our responsibility to think long term. If we don't act, eventually we'll hit a wall." At the meeting, much of the discussion centered on how the district may weather the coming storm. Board members in support said cuts should be made to non-classroom positions at district headquarters. Trustee Woods said the board should prioritize decreasing class size, adding, "It's the classroom we've got to protect above all else. If we don't take appropriate action tonight, we will have to take drastic action next year," he warned. Kelly said the district had numerous administrators earning over $200,000 a year. He wants to see them return to classroom teaching positions. But Fite said that staff jobs should be protected, even if that meant going into reserves. "We can do things that don't involve cutting our people," he said. But to the crowd in attendance, much of the concern focused on the district's special education programming, as parents and staff lamented that an underserved group of students would suffer the most if those positions were eliminated. Parent Cherie Finn told the board that general education teachers at Santana High School are refusing to show up at individual education plan meetings for disabled students and that these students are suffering from the dysfunction. Walter Finn, also a parent, called cutting special education teachers disgusting and called on the board to fix it. Jay Farrington is director of student safety for the district and recently received a pink slip. He told the board about many safety improvements he's made, including the establishment of a UHF radio station that allows safety communications to occur seamlessly between the district and its 8 campuses. As for his upcoming layoff, Farrington said of the district, "I do believe I've left it safer." Farrington reflected on the board's difficult task of making unpopular decisions. He closed by quoting the late General Norman Schwarzkopf telling the board, "The truth of the matter is that you will always know the right thing to do. The hard part is doing it."
This is John Tidwell with a consumer alert from California Attorney General Rob Bonta with tips on filing and preparing taxes safely. Bonta says, "For working families, tax season serves as a long-awaited opportunity to get ahead on bills, make needed home repairs, or finally start planning a vacation. This tax season, we want to make sure Californians don't fall victim to tax-related fraud or scams." He encourages Californians to check out the Office of Attorney General's website for tools, tips, and resources to make filing taxes easier and safer. That website is oag.ca.gov/consumers. So how can you protect yourself from tax scams? File early. You are less likely vulnerable to scammers if you file early and you have your refund in hand. Avoid putting yourself at risk of being the next victim and file your taxes as early as possible. Beware of phone scams. The Internal Revenue Service, or IRS, and the state's Franchise Tax Board, or FTB, will only call a person who owes taxes if they have tried to contact them by mail first. Legitimate IRS and FTB agents will not threaten jail time or seek payment over the phone or through a wire transfer. Do not make any payments over the phone. Instead, contact the agency directly and report the scammers. Never open an email or text message that says it is from the IRS or the FTB. The IRS and FTB do not use email, text message, or social media to request personal or financial information, or to send notices regarding audits or refunds. Replying to the email, opening attachments, or clicking on links may enable scammers to collect your personal information or infect your computer with viruses or other malware. Think beyond the password. For greater security, get an identity protection PIN for your e-filing account with the IRS. A new PIN is provided each year by the IRS. Use two-step authentication. Check on the availability of two-step authentication to protect your tax filing accounts and other online accounts containing sensitive information. Two-step authentication adds a second factor, such as a one-time use code that is sent to you by email, phone, or text. You enter that code along with your username and password to get access to your account. If you need help to prepare your tax filings, here are some resources. You may qualify for free help. Many consumers turn to third-party tax preparation services for help filing their tax returns. Attorney General Bonta encourages consumers to first find out if they qualify for free tax help. Links to see if you qualify for this program can be found at the California Attorney General's site, oag.ca.gov, under the Consumers tab. The IRS Direct File Pilot Program now allows eligible California taxpayers to file their 2023 federal taxes directly with the IRS for free. The Franchise Tax Board's CalFile program allows qualified individuals to quickly e-file their state tax return directly to the FTB, free of charge. Another option is the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, which provides free tax help to people who make $64,000 or less annually, persons with disabilities, and people who do not understand English well. The Tax Counseling for the Elderly program offers free tax help for all taxpayers, particularly those over 60, specializing in questions about pensions and retirement-related issues. You may qualify for cash back or a reduction of the tax you owe under the Earned Income Tax Credit and the California Earned Income Tax Credit programs. Check the oag.ca.gov site to see if you qualify for one or both of these tax credits. Need more time to prepare? You can also use IRS Free File to electronically request an automatic tax filing extension, regardless of your income. You will then have until October 15th to file a return. More information on how to request an extension can be found on the IRS website. If you decide to hire someone to prepare your taxes, make sure the tax preparer is reputable and qualified to provide tax services. In California, only an attorney, certified public accountant, IRS enrolled agent, or registered tax preparer can prepare tax returns for a fee. If you believe you have been the victim of a tax-related scam or other misconduct, you can file a complaint at oag.ca.gov/report or with the IRS. To learn about how to protect yourself and your loved ones against fraud, visit oag.ca.gov/consumers.
This is Danita Ramirez with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. In springtime, the flowers bloom and bees are busy. This time of year, sightings of honeybee swarms and nests are more likely as groups of bees leave old colonies to establish new ones. Bees are an important part of our environment and in agriculture. They pollinate flowers to produce many of the foods we eat, but they can also defend their nests and sting us to protect their baby bees and honey. There are many types of honeybees in San Diego. Two of the most common are European honeybees and Africanized honeybees. European honeybees are the calmer, domesticated bees traditionally kept by beekeepers. They're used to pollinate crops and produce honey. Africanized bees are not used in agriculture or honey production because they tend to react defensively to common disturbances, especially to vibrations such as lawn equipment. They're more aggressive and attack in greater numbers, chasing their target for longer distances. A honeybee swarm or nest has a distinct buzzing sound. Swarms often stop to rest and send out scouts before finding a location to permanently settle. These swarm clusters are usually non-threatening, with no food or nest to defend, but it's still wise to be cautious around them. A hive, on the other hand, is a stationary nest where honeybees raise their young and store their food, the nectar, which is made into honey, as well as pollen collected from flowers. Bees are territorial around their hive and will react defensively if disturbed. Honeybees often nest in dark, quiet, protected places such as under eaves, in attics, trees, shrubbery, chimneys, gutters, and old tires. If bees are in a utility box, such as a water meter or electrical transformer, residents should contact the utility provider for removal. Here are some helpful tips to avoid getting stung if you encounter a swarm or a beehive. Do not disturb the bees. If they are disrupted already, move to a safe location. Keep children and pets away. If bees are an imminent threat, aggressively swarming from a hive and attacking people or animals, call 911. The county can remove bees from county-operated lands such as parks, libraries, or streets. If bees are on private property, it is up to the property owner to hire a professional. Do not try to remove bees yourself. Instead, contact a licensed pest control company or a live bee removal company.
This is Zaravan Ali with the weather update. Get ready for a wet and windy weekend as an atmospheric river moves into the region. The chance of rain on Easter Sunday is around 90% in East County's mountains, 85% in El Cajon, and 80% in Borrego Springs. Region-wide, all of San Diego County has more than 75% chance of rain. Flash flooding is also possible in low-lying areas, the National Weather Service warns. Gusty winds up to 60 miles per hour are also forecasted for mountain areas, with the snow level dropping to 5,500 feet by Monday. Traveling may be difficult, particularly for high-profile vehicles. The storm will also bring in chilly temperatures with highs in the 50s and 60s across most of our region, and highs in the 40s in some mountain communities. The weather should warm up early next week with sunny skies and a return to seasonal temperatures.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Crews have been ramping up wildfire resilience projects to thin out brush and deadwood in California's giant sequoia groves, clearing twice as many acres in 2023 compared with 2022. The Giant Sequoia Lands Coalition is trying to avoid a repeat of the disastrous megafires of 2020 and 2021, which killed about 20% of large mature trees in their native Sierra Nevada range. Dr. Joanna Nelson is with the nonprofit Save the Redwoods League.
We remove fuels, we get to a safe place to do prescribed burning and to do cultural burning, which is always led by indigenous people, which is another practice of taking care of the forest and reducing wildfire risk.
Sequoia National Park is just one part of California's giant sequoia groves, which stretch over 26,000 acres. A new report shows that in 2023, the program treated nearly 9,900 acres in 28 groves and more than 14,000 acres since 2021. Crews have also planted 542,000 native tree seedlings in severely burned areas over the past 2 years. Nelson says the groves must be retreated about every 8 to 10 years.
The cost of inaction is loss of giant sequoias in their native range and big fires that spread because of the fuel continuity. And so we risk further loss of trees that are anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 years old if we do nothing.
The groves have built up quite a bit of deadwood fuel because until the last few decades, it had been national policy to suppress almost all fire, which led to intense firestorms that incinerated entire groves of old growth trees. It is now understood that judicious use of fire can clear out the understory and be beneficial to the forest. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. It's spring break time, college kids everywhere looking to go have some fun. And so today I'm here with Saravana Lee, one of our own interns who is a college kid on his spring break. And we're going to be talking to you about what you should know if you're thinking about spending spring break in Mexico or traveling there for anything else. So I'm looking at a Mexico travel advisory from the U.S. State Department, which warns that violent crime, such as homicide, kidnapping, carjacking, robbery, is getting more widespread and common in Mexico. And if you go there, you should know the U.S. government has only limited ability to provide emergency services to U.S. citizens in some parts of Mexico. There are six areas they're actually specifically recommending that you do not travel to. Those are Colima State, Guerrero State, Michoacán State, Sinaloa, Tamaulipas, and Zacatecas, and that's due to crimes and kidnappings there. And there are warnings up for a number of other areas, so I advise you to go to travel.state.gov and check it out. Now, there's also a specific spring break travel advisory that the U.S. embassies and consulates in Mexico have issued, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Saravan, what are some of the areas where they're saying citizens should exercise caution that are popular spring break destinations?
Yes, U.S. citizens should exercise increased caution in downtown areas, including Cancun, Playa del Carmen, and Tulum, especially after dark.
Yeah, there you go. So just using some common sense there and watching your surroundings. What about drug use? You know, here in the States, marijuana is legal in a lot of places, including California. What should you know if you're in Mexico?
Drug possession and use, including medical marijuana, is illegal in Mexico and may result in a lengthy jail sentence. U.S. citizens have become seriously ill or died in Mexico after using synthetic drugs or altered prescription pills.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We had a story recently about Mexican pharmacies where they were finding fentanyl in over-the-counter medications. People thought they were buying legal, safe drugs, but in some cases they were deadly. So just be aware of that. And if you're traveling, it's probably a good idea to bring your own prescription medications or over-the-counter medications in the original packaging purchased in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What about alcohol?
Unregulated alcohol may be contaminated, and U.S. citizens have reported losing consciousness or becoming injured after consuming alcohol that was possibly tainted. So beware.
Yeah, good point. What about swimming? They have such beautiful beaches in Mexico. What are some of the things people should know there?
Some beaches have strong undercurrents and riptides. Beaches may lack lifeguards, warnings, or signs of unsafe conditions, so always be wary.
What about if you have a medical emergency? What should people know?
Private hospitals' prices can be higher than those in the United States, but many facilities require payments, sometimes in cash only, either before providing treatment or before discharging a patient.
Good point. And of course, as when traveling anywhere, you know, abroad, it's a good idea to keep cash, you know, out of sight, keep it hidden. You can get clothing that has special compartments, and also don't wear flashy jewelry. You know, if you've got expensive stuff, leave it at home.
What about arrests? What were you to do if you were to get arrested in Mexico?
Well, as anywhere, you know, if you're engaged in drunk and disorderly behavior, you know, you can get arrested. You should know that open alcohol containers in vehicles are illegal in Mexico. So don't drive around with the cerveza open or you can get in trouble. So Saravan, can you tell us about some of the places where people can get more information?
Yes, you should definitely read the Mexico Travel Advisory and the country information page for details on traveling to Mexico, including entry requirements.
Yeah, that's on the State Department's website. And you can also enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program that the State Department has. And that's actually a good idea, not only for Mexico, but anywhere. When I've traveled, I've gotten alerts about everything from, you know, hurricanes to civil unrest. So it's a good idea to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, of course, call 911 in an emergency, just like you can here. What about health insurance, Saravan? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, you should definitely make sure that your health insurance plan provides coverage in Mexico, or purchase travel insurance that covers Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand it's a good idea to confirm the cost of medical treatment in advance also, so you don't get a...
You don't get overcharged.
Yeah, exactly. Back to drinking responsibly and watching what you drink, which is important. But if you do start to feel ill, what should you do?
You should definitely seek medical attention immediately. Report cases of suspicious, unregulated, contaminated alcohol to the Mexican Federal Commission by filling out a report online at the COFERPIS website.
The Mexican Federal Commission for Protection Against Sanitary Risk. If you Google that, it's kind of a mouthful. And there are links to that on the State Department site also that you can find.
What should you do if you get in an emergency?
Well, we've talked about some of them already, but you want to make sure that you're following Mexican laws and know that they can differ. You can catch a taxi. You can catch an Uber. If you, let's say you get in an uncomfortable situation and you want to get out of there, you can do those things. And also, you want to keep an eye on, you know, your credit cards and your debit card and be sure that there's no unauthorized transactions. It's a good idea to let your credit card company know where you're going also so they don't accidentally cut off your credit when they notice something coming in from overseas. And don't carry, like, wads of cash. And, you know, be careful if you're using an ATM or something. You know, you just want to be cautious as you would anywhere about things
You should definitely avoid ATMs in isolated areas or unlit areas.
Yeah, exactly. And also, let your friends or your family or somebody know where you're going, check in with them, and when you're due back. That can save your life. What about, I think there's a smartphone app. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you should definitely consider downloading the Guest Assist app, an application on your smartphone for traveling to a bunch of areas.
And also, the Mexican government provides information on emergency services for tourists via its app and also on their website. You want to absolutely make sure that your passport is up to date and in a safe place. If you are a cruise ship passenger, by the way, there's a whole separate list of advice for cruise ship passengers that you can get on the State Department website. Zarabon, where else can people go for help if you really get in a bind down there? What do you do?
Oh, if you really get in a bind, you should definitely contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate if you need assistance.
And I'm even going to give you a couple of phone numbers you can jot down. If you are in Mexico, you can reach the U.S. Embassy and Consulate by calling 55-8526-2561. And the Department of State also has a consular affairs number at 1-888-407-4747. And again, all these numbers are available on the State Department website.
And also, if you are in an emergency, call 911. Although there may not be many English-speaking operators available, it is best to seek assistance from a Spanish speaker to place the call.
There you go. That's a great idea. Well, I want everybody to have a fun and safe spring break out there, and take care.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Miriam Raftery.
And I'm Danita Ramirez.
With this week's Destination East County, April brings some awesome events to East County, including Mission Trails Regional Parks Community Night, Daffodil Days in Julian, a stargazing party at Mission Trails, the opening of the Cajon Classic Cruises season, Ramona's Open Studios Art Tour, Latino musical headliners at Viejas Concerts in the Park, Heritage of the Americas Museum's Spring Art Show, stand-up comedian Kevin Hart at the Magnolia, Lakeside's Rodeo and Western Days Parade, and a Neil Young concert at San Diego State University.
On Thursday, April 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m., the nonprofit Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation will host Mission Trails Community Night. The event will include games, refreshments, and tables from organizations to help the public learn how to experience the park in many ways. Participants include trail guides, running clubs, the American Alpine Club, the San Diego Audubon Society, Project Wildlife, Latinos Outdoors, Queer Hike San Diego, the San Diego Tracking Team, Bob Gordon and Huxley the Hawk, and more. This event is open to the public, but registration is required at mtrp.org.
Julian Farm and Orchard invites you to enjoy Daffodil Days every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 o'clock to 4 p.m. now through April 14th or whenever those beautiful yellow blooms are gone. The farm offers you-pick daffodils as well as other farm activities including a petting zoo, tractor-pulled hay rides, plus you can do axe throwing, climb a rock climbing wall, and shop at the gift store with locally crafted items as well as potted daffodils for sale. You can get more information at julianfarmandorchard.com.
Mission Trails Regional Park and the San Diego Astronomy Association invites you to a star party on the first Friday of each month starting at sunset at the Kumeyaay Lake Campground parking lot. The next star party is on April 5th. Telescopes will be available to view the nighttime sky, including stars, planets, and constellations, weather permitting. Find more information at Mission Trails Regional Park's website at mtrp.org.
Cajon Classic Cruises opens their season on Wednesday night, April 10th, with a full street closure for the car shows at Main and Magnolia in downtown El Cajon, along with plenty of food, fun, and entertainment for the whole family. Cajon Classic Cruises will continue all summer long every Wednesday night. For a full schedule of events, you can visit downtownelcajon.com.
On Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and 14th, the Ramona Chamber of Commerce will present the annual Ramona Open Studios Tour. You will have a unique opportunity to visit with Ramona artists in their private studios while viewing their work. This self-guided tour will meander through Ramona, allowing visitors to explore at their own pace from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Participating artists showing a variety of artistic expressions, including painting, ceramics, jewelry, sculptures, fused glass, and woodworking, which will be available for purchase. For tickets, visit ramonachamber.com.
Concerts in the Park at Viejas and Alpine return starting April 19th with a performance by Luis Angel, known as El Flaco, and Luis Antonio, El Mimoso. Then on April 27th, Mariachis Vargas will bring music to Viejas Concerts in the Park. More concerts are planned in May, June, and July. For tickets and a full schedule, you can visit viejas.com/entertainment.
The City of La Mesa is inviting residents, visitors, sponsors, and vendors to join its family-friendly Earth Day Fair on Saturday, April 20th at MacArthur Park. The festival is a celebration of the city's commitment to environmental stewardship and a showcase of local businesses that offer eco-friendly products and services. The festival will run from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and feature a variety of activities for all ages and interests.
Heritage of the Americas Museum at Cuyamaca College will host a spring art show with a reception on April 20th from 12 noon to 4 p.m. featuring talented artists from the Cuyamaca Art Club. Their works will feature topics related to the Americas in mediums ranging from paintings to digital art to charcoal creations. Learn more at heritageoftheamericasmuseum.com.
Actor and comedian Kevin Hart will perform live at the Magnolia in El Cajon on April 21st with two shows at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Hart has been a guest host on Saturday Night Live, hosted the MTV Music Video Awards, won several stand-up comedy competitions, and founded the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Streaming Network. He's also an accomplished actor with starring roles in many motion pictures, including the Jumanji series, Scary Movie, Fast and Furious, and more. In 2015, the Time magazine named him 100 Most Influential People in the World. For tickets, visit magnoliasandiego.com.
Lakeside's annual rodeo will be held April 25th through 28th, featuring events such as bronco and bull riding, barrel racing, and more. A tradition for more than a century, the rodeo began back in 1920, and today benefits youth groups in the Lakeside community. Tickets are available at lakesiderodeo.com.
Lakeside's Western Days Parade rolls out on Saturday, April 27th, starting at 9:35 a.m. The parade route starts on Woodside Avenue and proceeds down Main Avenue. This year's theme is Lakeside, a great small town. The parade is organized by the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce, and you can find more information at lakesidechamber.org.
Legendary musician Neil Young and his band Crazy Horse will perform live at the Cal Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater at San Diego State University on April 27th. The winner of multiple Grammy Awards, Neil Young has previously performed with such big-name bands as Crosby, Stills & Nash and Buffalo Springfield. His hit songs include Freedom, Philadelphia, and Harvest Moon. Tickets are available at as.sdsu.edu/calcoast or just Google Cal Coast Open Air Theater for details.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
Education advocates are calling on lawmakers to increase funding for programs to combat the teacher shortage. 37% of schools nationwide report being short at least one teacher. The problem is worse at schools serving high-poverty neighborhoods where more than half report a vacancy. Susan Kemper-Patrick with the Learning Policy Institute says those numbers are troublingly high.
At least 314,000 teaching positions across the U.S. are either unfilled or filled with teachers who are not fully certified for their assignments. But this means at least 1 in 10 teaching positions nationally are either unfilled or not filled with a certified teacher.
Data from the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing showed 10,000 teacher vacancies in the 2021-2022 school year. The number of teacher credentials issued that year was down 16% from the previous year, but has now started to trend upward. In 2023, California passed a bill to make it easier for retired teachers to return to the classroom. Kemper Patrick notes that schools are resorting to desperate measures, like combining classes, relying on a virtual teacher, or using a long-term substitute.
So the U.S. Department of Education School Pulse Survey found that 36% of public schools across the U.S. reported that they had to increase class size due to teacher and staff vacancies.
Kemper Patrick blames the problem on low salaries, noting the average starting salary for a teacher nationwide is less than $43,000 a year. Congress is currently considering two bills, the Diversify Act and the Educators for America Act, which would double the amount of the Teach America grant from $4,000 to $8,000 per year. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Whatever color you are, whatever sexual orientation you are, whatever your heritage is, you want to be safe.
Republican New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew says Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg worries more about pronouns than the safety of America's infrastructure. Since the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, right-wing comments have linked the accident to diversity programs, immigration, even COVID lockdowns. Baltimore natives like TV producer David Chase have reacted to that with rage, calling it an insult to politicize the tragedy. Safety officials are investigating if contaminated fuel is what actually caused the cargo ship to lose power before it crashed. A federal court says it's too close to the June congressional primary to change South Carolina's districts, even though the map discriminates against black voters. The Supreme Court has yet to rule on a racial gerrymandering case about the state's first district, now held by Republican Nancy Mace. But Marvin Neal with the South Carolina State NAACP says the state shouldn't be rewarded for not dealing with the issue.
The black voters of South Carolina and across this nation deserve voting maps that work to empower, not diminish the black vote.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate impeachment trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas will start in 2 weeks after Congress returns from break. The largely symbolic articles of impeachment passed the House by a single vote, but Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer insists Mayorkas has failed to enforce federal immigration laws.
House Republicans fulfilled our constitutional duty by voting to impeach. I can only hope my colleagues in the Senate will step up and do the same.
Meanwhile, Schumer is pressing Speaker Mike Johnson to schedule a House vote on an aid package for Ukraine.
Ukraine needs more help. And our allies around the world are looking at the House of Representatives, are looking at Speaker Johnson to step up.
Johnson says he'll try to pass billions in funding for Ukraine and Israel once the House returns, but his right flank opposes Ukraine aid and is already angry over his working with Democrats on the budget. Unions in Maine want a law to say thousands of farm workers will get the state's $14 minimum wage. State AFL President Cynthia Finney says farm workers were intentionally left out of federal labor laws covering wages, the right to unionize, or even demand rest breaks.
Those are things that other workers are entitled to already, and farm workers are not, and certainly farm workers work hard enough.
And finally, President Joe Biden raised an estimated $25 million at a star-studded New York City event with former presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. The two are helping Biden expand his already significant cash advantage over former President Donald Trump. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
An all-night search by the Sheriff's Volunteer Search and Rescue Unit has safely located a man who had been missing for over 14 hours in Sycamore Canyon Preserve. The search began after the 57-year-old man failed to return from a hike in Sycamore Canyon on March 19th. He had begun his hike at 9 a.m., and his family reported him missing at 1 p.m. A sheriff's command post was established at the Sycamore Canyon County Preserve, which includes portions of Poway and Lakeside. Volunteers with the Sheriff's Search and Rescue Unit searched the area with the assistance of the sheriff's Astrea helicopter throughout the night. The next morning around 3 a.m., the man was found alive on one of the hiking trails in Sycamore Canyon. He was transported to a local hospital, and his family was notified. The Sheriff's Department thanks the all-volunteer search and rescue team, which performs wilderness and urban rescues, as well as searches for missing and at-risk persons. Teams are available 24 hours per day to respond to local, state, and federal agency requests. To learn more or become a volunteer, visit sdsheriff.net and choose the I Want To tab at the top, which has a list of volunteer opportunities. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
A federal judge has approved a settlement in a long-running class action lawsuit affirming the constitutional due process rights of people in immigration custody in San Diego and Imperial counties. The suit was filed by the ACLU Foundation of San Diego and Imperial Counties and several law firms on behalf of immigrant plaintiffs. The case, Cancino Casteller v. Mayorkas, filed in March 2017, challenged systemic delays in processing people arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, including Border Patrol. The settlement with federal government requires that immigration agencies will provide class members with written notice in multiple languages informing them of their right to a prompt first appearance. Those who wish to see a judge promptly will have a first appearance within 11 days of entering ICE custody. Class members already residing in the U.S. who are arrested by Border Patrol will be processed out of Border Patrol custody within 3 days, either to ICE custody or released. Class members who indicate on the processing forms that they would like a bond hearing will receive one at the soonest available date. In every other form of custody, when the government arrests someone, there is a constitutional obligation to begin court proceedings before a judge promptly. This due process protection ensures that the government does not make people disappear into its custody and that those arrested are promptly made aware of their rights. Prior to this lawsuit victory, the federal government asserted those in immigration custody were not entitled to these protections. As a result, people arrested by U.S. immigration agencies, many of whom reside in our local communities, routinely endured weeks and sometimes months in harsh immigration detention conditions. While waiting prolonged periods of time to see a judge, they were separated from their loved ones and unable to attend their jobs, education, and families. Because the federal government does not provide attorneys to people in immigration custody, many were unable to seek release or begin their case until their first hearing. In San Diego and Imperial counties, immigration agencies have the capacity to incarcerate more than 2,000 people every day in ICE immigration jails, border patrol stations. Jose Cancino Casteller was one of the plaintiffs in the case. He says, ICE arrested me when I was 18, and it was so hard not to see my parents or my brother and sister for a month. I was scared at the time, not knowing what was going on with my case or if I would be released, but once I saw a judge, I was released and able to return to them. He adds, "That first hearing is so important. I am proud I was able to help so that other people won't have to go through what I went through." Ifaun Cobb, Deputy Legal Director for the ACLU Foundation in San Diego, says, "We celebrate that the court honored the constitutional principles we hold dear and that members of our communities will not be held for prolonged periods without seeing a judge. We will continue to fight to ensure that the right of due process extends to all people, including newly arrived people seeking asylum who are not immediately covered by this decision." Attorney Alex Gelberg from the law firm Fish & Richardson PC says, "Prolonged immigration detention has disastrous effects by imposing tremendous hardship on detainees and their families. The settlement achieves important protections for this vulnerable class. I am extremely proud that Fish's pro bono program supported the case from the outset and throughout the years, making it possible to obtain the much needed relief." Len Simon of the law offices of Leonard B. Simon also represented plaintiffs in the case. He concludes, "I am very pleased to have been part of this lengthy and successful effort to further due process rights for immigrants to the U.S. and this country that prides itself on giving everyone his or her timely day in court." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Danita Ramirez.
Each spring, hundreds of thousands of California high school seniors have to figure out if they can afford to go to college in the fall. And two new reports from the Campaign for College Opportunity look at how to make higher ed more affordable. The feds recently launched a simpler financial aid application, but the rollout has been rocky. Deja Brown, a student at College of the Desert in the Coachella Valley, says programs that help with tuition, books, housing, food, and transportation make all the difference.
If we want to achieve statewide goals like 70% college attainment while closing equity gaps, we need to prioritize affordability and revolutionize financial aid.
The first study calls on Congress to better fund Pell Grants, which serve students whose families make under $40,000 a year. 32% of white students receive a Pell Grant, but that number is 60% for black students, 50% for Latino students, 45% for Native American students, and 39% for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders. Study co-author Emmanuel Rodriguez with the Institute for College Access and Success notes that Pell Grants cover less than a third of the cost of college and calls on lawmakers to take action.
They can double the award. They can restore automatic inflation adjustments. They can fund those Pell Grants entirely through mandatory spending. They can expand eligibility to undocumented students. And they can eliminate taxation of the Pell Grant when used to cover any non-tuition costs.
Christopher Nellum with Education Trust West co-authored the second brief. It praises California's new law requiring all high school students to fill out applications for federal or state student aid.
That means there needs to be enough counselors engaging with young folks. We need schools and districts to have meaningful partnerships with the community college, with the universities in their area.
Studies show that students who fill out the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA, enroll in college at a significantly higher rate than those who do not. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.